chapter number 18, if you would. 1 Kings chapter number 18. I feel like I'm very loud right now, so let's see what I can do about that. 1 Kings chapter number 18. If you would stand with me for the reading of God's word. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter number 18, and we're going to start reading in verse number 17. It says this, "And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the grove 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people, and said, How long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken." Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for this night, God. I thank you, Lord, for this whole conference that we've had. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that we get, Lord. And God, I thank you, honestly, Lord, every message has spoken to my heart, Lord. And I thank you for Brother Jeffrey starting off and Brother Tud on Sunday night. Lord, just a fabulous message about knowing the will of God. And God, I pray you would help us to care about that and desire that in our lives. And Lord, Brother Kenny, what can you say about him, Lord? Every year, Lord, just he gives us a boatload from heaven, Lord. And we just thank you for him. And Lord, all that he taught us and all that he preached to us the last few days. God, we just pray you would help us in this closing service. I thank you for the young guys preaching as well. But God, we just pray in this closing service, God, that you wouldn't be done with us, God, that you would say something else to us. And God, most of all, that you would seal these decisions, these thoughts, these things that you've put in our hearts and minds the last couple days, Lord, that we would be able to live them out in the future. And God, give all the honor and glory to you. God, quickly, I just pray you would forgive me of my sins. Fill me with your spirit, God. I need your help tonight. Please, dear God, I need you here with me and working and speaking through me. And God, I just pray you'd focus me on the scripture as well and help the folks, Lord. Thank you for them coming and listening and paying attention all week long. Amen. God, I just pray you would give them the energy to pay attention just one more time, God. And I pray you would speak to their hearts and give them something from your word. Lord, I just pray you would speak to us and help us be different because of what we hear tonight. Lord, thank you again for all that you do. God, we need you right now. I just pray you would be here with us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you again for standing. We don't have time, but if we were to turn back in the chapter prior to 1 Kings 18, Elijah shows up kind of out of the blue to King Ahab. He does not know, Ahab does not know who Elijah is. He shows up before him and he says, it's not going to rain until I come back and say so. And if I'm Ahab, I'm kind of thinking, yeah, who are you? Get this nutcase out of here. And they did, apparently. But as time went along, it didn't rain. Not only was there no rain, there was no dew upon the grass in the morning time. There was no water coming down from heaven at all. And as time went along, I'm thinking Ahab thought, who was that psycho we threw out? Y'all better find him because he's causing a problem here. It so happens that for 3.5 years, there was no dew, there was no rain upon the earth. And for 3.5 years, this happens. What we just read in 1 Kings chapter 18, beginning in verse 17, is when Elijah and Ahab meet back up. As soon as they meet back up, I love this. As soon as they meet back up, obviously Ahab was a very wicked king, one of the most wicked in all of Israel's history. Ahab says immediately to Elijah, he says, you're the one causing us all these problems. That's what he says in verse 18. He says, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? He's saying, you're the one causing these problems. Because of you, we don't have rain. Because of you, we don't have dew. Because of you, we have this famine. People are starving, and this is a terrible situation. It's all your fault. I like Elijah, man. Verse 18, he says, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord. Now it's followed Balaam. He's saying, listen, this ain't my fault. This is on your back. He's saying, you turn from God. You turn your back on God. You sinned against God. That's why we're having all this judgment. It's not my fault. I'm just telling you the truth that he told me. But right after he says, I love Elijah, just going right back at him. He doesn't take any of that. He goes right back at him. He said, no, you've turned your back on God. That's why we're suffering this judgment from him. But as soon as that happens, right after that event, Elijah turns to all the people in verse 21. And he says, how long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal's God, then follow him. And it says, the people answered him not a word. In my mind, this is what the people did. Because it was so simple. If God's God, follow him. If Baal's God, then follow him. Very simple. You know what he's saying? He's looking at these people in verse number 21. These people that were divided. These people that were torn between two opinions. These people that tried to mix the worship of Jehovah with the worship of Baal. And in essence, he's saying to these folks, hey, people, make up your mind. Which side are you on? Enough playing around. Enough wishy-washy. Enough back and forth. Enough flip-flopping back and forth each day. This day I'll serve Baal. This day I'll serve Jehovah. This day I'll do something for God. That day I'll do something for Baal. He's saying, enough of this. If God's God, you follow him. If Baal's God, you follow him. Which side are you on? That's what he's saying. Hey, folks, let me tell you something real quick. He's saying many, many times in our lives, when we're not doing what we're supposed to do, we get mad at those that tell us the truth. Yet it's not their fault. It's our fault for sinning against God. Very many times you get mad at the pastor. You get mad at Brother Chad. You get mad at the youth pastor. You get mad at somebody in the church because they're calling you out on your business. You should be mad at yourself for not doing what God has called you to do already. It's not their fault. They're just telling you the truth. But so often we get mad at the man of God. We get mad at those that trying to tell us the truth because they care for us. But it's our fault for sinning against God. Listen, I look around and I think as I was preparing this about a lot of our young people in this church. And I see a lot of lives that are divided. I see a lot of lives that are torn. I see a lot of lives that are trying to mix. They're trying to mix the worship of Jehovah on one hand with ungodly music. They're trying to mix the worship of Jehovah on one hand with immodest dress. I see them trying to mix the worship of Jehovah with a dirty thought life. I see them trying to mix the worship of Jehovah with messing around on Facebook. I see that all these different things that trying to mix the worship of Jehovah with, being guy crazy or girl crazy. Let me tell you something. Let me give you some news tonight. Those things cannot coexist. Let me tell you something. If you are going to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't have those things in your life. Doesn't work. Those things don't work together. They cannot coexist. Let me tell you something. We've got a lot of people that, as the skits have portrayed in the last few days, we say we love God. We say we want to do the right thing. We say, oh yeah, of course I'm on the Lord's side. Why would you even think that? But if you look at your lives, it's the total opposite. We say in so many words, yes, I want to serve God, but yet we're serving the devil. If you look at our lives, it shouldn't be like that. Listen, you cannot mix the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only true God, with all these other things. It has to be him and only him. Let me tell you something. There needs to be something in your life where you just want to say, man, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it all the way. Man, I don't know about you, but when I play sports, if I'm going to play sports, I want to give it my best shot. Either that or I'm not going to play. It's one or the other. I'm not going to get in and play halfway. I don't care if I'm playing checkers. If I play checkers, I want to win. If I'm not going to play checkers, I don't care about checkers. When Miss Tamara called me out last night and said, play this game, I did not want to play that game. But when I got up there, I wanted to win, and I did. Tut, Mauricio, how about that? And what? As Tony Hudson was saying, no, I'm just kidding. Let me tell you something. We all have that same desire for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're going to be a Christian, why don't you do it all the way? Hello? If you're going to be a Christian, why not go for it? Why not give it your all? Why are we halfway all the time? Why do we live one way at church and yet another way everywhere else? Shouldn't be like that. Folks, it's about time for many of us tonight to decide in our minds, which side are you on? 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 If there's anything in our lives that we should try to get from this conference, is this thought, this question, which side are you on? I want you to see, first of all, in this passage, that they were divided in their opinion. They were divided in their opinion. Look at verse number 21. With me, if you would. It says, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? How long halt ye between two opinions? These people were divided in their opinion. You know what, in essence, what was going on? These people were trying to worship Baal and Jehovah at the same time. That's what they're trying to do. Trying to worship God, but yet trying to play around with the world as well. The word halt there, it says, how long halt ye between two opinions? The word halt means this. Jumping back from place to place. So we have a line down the middle of this church for a reason. Yeah. Because you know what these people are doing in 1 Kings 18? Every day, trying to jump back and forth, jump back and forth, jump back and forth. Right. Let me tell you something. You say, oh, yeah, that's funny, that's funny. No, I see a lot of Christians doing the same thing. Hello? Yeah, you got saved, and yeah, you've made that decision to be saved, but every Sunday, oh, I'm on the Lord's side, praise Jesus. Then Monday, back over. Then when we're back in church, oh, pastor's looking, back over. Then he's gone, all right, back to my music, back to my immodest dress, back to my bad friends, back to me clicking around on Facebook, back to me getting on YouTube and watching all these nasty things. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. You know what Elijah said? Enough of that. Enough playing. Enough playing. Listen, I don't understand how we think we can jump back and forth with God and try to fool him. You may be fooling the pastor. You may be fooling me. You may be fooling your parents. You may be fooling the adults in this church, but you are not fooling God. I guarantee you that. I'm just copying Brother Kenny dropping this thing. So he did that last night. I must be on the right track, all right? Jumping back from place to place. Listen, folks. You know what he's saying? I honestly think this. I'm not doing this just because we have a conference or whatever's going on. I honestly think there's a lot of people that are halting in here. Honestly. I know there's a desire to do right, and I'm not banging you for that. That's a good thing. We're glad. We're glad you're at church tonight. I know for most of you, you've been here every night, and I appreciate that. Amen. And there's a desire. There's a want-to inside. But I see you jumping back and forth all the time. It's time we make up our minds and we stay on the Lord's side. Yeah. Listen, it's easy for 3 or 4 days to get on the Lord's side. Oh, I'm leaning on the Lord's side. How about next week? How about the week after? How about the month after? How about next year? Well, Todd, it's easy. I'm telling you, it's easy for us to put on the show, put on the fakeness for a little while. What are you really? What are you when it's just you and God around? Is it just for the applause? Is it just for what people see? I hope not. Are you playing? Are you playing? Are you halting? Listen, I think a lot of people are halting back and forth, divided in their opinion, because they're playing around. They're holding on to certain sins. Listen, if you're holding on to certain sins, you're halting. You're halting. Listen, if you're trying to hold on to those worldly friends, if you're trying to hold on to that music, if you're trying to hold on to that bad attitude, which I see a lot of teenagers do, you are halting. You're on divided in your opinion. Yeah, you say you love Jesus, but it don't look like it a lot of times. Hello? Anybody with me there? Listen. If he is your Lord, if he is your Savior, if he is everything that we say he is, why don't you live like it? Why don't I live like it more? Let me tell you something, folks. We don't do these things perfectly, but it's time we stop becoming divided in our opinions. So often we're back and forth, back and forth. Double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You not only hold on to sin and you halt by that, but you hold back. You hold back in your Christian life. Well, I don't want to really put myself out there. I don't really want to go out on a limb. I know God is touching my heart about giving this so much money, or I know God's touching my heart about stepping up and working in the Sunday school or working on the bus routes or getting really involved, but I don't really want to put myself out there. Listen to me. If you're holding back, you're halting. You're halting. You're halting. Listen, if God has worked on your heart, like Bubba said, what's your answer? What's your answer? You going to listen to the Lord, or are you going to get a bag of rotten bananas? All right? It's up to you. It's up to you. I don't like rotten bananas. I like real bananas. I mean, the good ones that Bubba hadn't ate already. I like those. But I don't like the ones that are already eaten. Nasty. Listen, I want God's best for me, don't you? But you'll never get that by holding back. You know what I see a lot of times? I see people hiding. They're halting by hiding. They're trying to hide behind their friends or hide behind their family or hide behind the crowd. They don't want to get called out, Brother Jeff. They don't want to get the pressure on themselves. They want to hide behind everyone else. Church kids, I love you, but some of us, we try to just group together to where not one of us gets singled out. Listen to me. Why don't you forget about the group? Why don't you forget about hiding? Why don't you forget about your comfort zone and just find out if God is real or not? Why halt? Why play? Why? Listen, if God's God, don't you think we should serve him? Don't you think we should give him our best? Don't you think he's worthy of that? If he's not, go do what you want to do. Right. One or two options. Enough playing. We know there's kids that probably come to junior church every Sunday and probably come to big church every Sunday where they have a thought in their mind, well, I know I'm living for God now, but when I'm 18, I'm going to do my own thing. Listen, why are you halting? Why are you playing? Enough playing around. Enough hiding behind the crowd. Listen, you can hide from all of us. God is working on your heart, some of you. Don't hide from that. Don't hold back from that. Don't resist that. Man, if God's working on you, give in to him, whatever he wants. Stop playing. Stop procrastinating. Look at verse 21 again. Elijah says, how long halt you between the two? How long? How long? How long? Hey, for some of you, how long is it going to take for you to sell out to God? How long are you going to keep hesitating? You've had chance after chance, service after service, conference after conference. You say, maybe when I'm 18, maybe when I'm 21, maybe when I'm adult. How about right now?
Amen.
Why do we got to wait? Why do we have to wait? Enough playing, enough procrastinating, enough being phony. Listen, if you're a hypocrite, you know you're halting. You know you're two-faced. It shouldn't be like that. It shouldn't be that one. You're one way at home and one way in church. One way around the spiritual people, one way around everyone else. It shouldn't be like that. Listen, that's halting. That's jumping back and forth. I don't want to do that in my life. Bless God, I may not have everything right. And sometimes, you know, I just have that. This is kind of a crazy thought. But sometimes it just has to go through my mind. You know what? I'm just going to stand on the Lord's side. I don't care what people say. It's going to be hard. The difficulties are going to come. I don't care if I'm right. I don't care if I'm wrong. I don't care if everything works out or if it doesn't. I'm just going to live for God. I have to tell myself that sometimes. Because let me tell you, people will laugh. And people will talk. And people will say stuff. And if every chance you get, well, God, you promised me that if I did what you wanted me to do, the God, that everything was going to... No, he didn't. He never said that. He never said that. And you're lying to yourself, or somebody lied to you if you're believing that. But you know what we do? As soon as it gets hard, we start feeling back for that line. That's enough of that. Listen, after all that God has done for us, like these guys have mentioned, as we heard the last couple of nights, I think he deserves for you to be on his side forever, man. Devoted, dedicated. I don't care what happens to me, I'm going to be on the Lord's side. Doesn't matter what happens. Stop being phony. Elijah is saying in this passage, enough playing, enough back and forth, enough flip-flopping, enough going this side, that side, back and forth. Listen, you ain't dancing. You living for God or living for the devil. You need to get on one side and stay. They were divided in their opinion. I want you to see, secondly, though, the demonstration of his omnipotence. The demonstration of his omnipotence. I can't see the clock. Okay. Now that I move, the lights move. So. Okay, good. About to check my phone. The demonstration of his omnipotence. See, these people were divided. He said, how long halt you between two opinions? How long are you going to try to play that game of serving Baal during the week and then serving God on the weekends, right? How long are you going to try to play that game? I want you to notice what he says in verse number 21 again. He says, listen, the demonstration of his omnipotence. Verse number 21, Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt you between two opinions? Look at what he says. If the Lord be God, follow him. If the Lord is God, then you need to follow him. Let me tell you something, folks. These people were about to find out in this story that God was God. Not Baal, not this, not that. The Lord God Jehovah came through. Sent fire down, blew up that altar, licked up the water. He did it all. He came down in power. Baal didn't do jack. Didn't do anything. He was about to show them how good he was. And let me tell you something, folks. I don't think we have to look into the future, and I don't think we have to ask God for a sign, Brother Chad. God's already been good enough to us right now. We don't have to say, if the Lord is God, he is God. That's certain. That's settled. That's assured. You don't have to worry about that. Taken care of. He says, how long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If the Lord be God, he proved it in this story that he is God. And he's shown that to us too. I just want you to think about this just for a moment. God has been so good to you that you should serve him.
Right.
Say, that's a simple statement. I heard that. I know that. God has been so good to you that he deserves for you to serve him. Think about this. Sometimes people think, well, I don't even know if God is real. As was already kind of mentioned a little bit, how'd you wake up this morning? How'd you have life in your being? How'd you have breath in your lungs? How could you see? How could you hear? How could you walk? How could you talk? Listen, God provides food for you. God provides shelter for you. God's provided everything in your life. Man, we take for granted the ability to think. We take for granted the ability to talk. We take for granted the ability to walk. We take for granted all the things that God does for us. Man, none of us, most everyone in this room, we don't have to worry about where our food comes from. We don't have to worry that we have enough water and shelter and all these things. God has been good to us. He's real. He's real. He's shown it to us. The Bible says, man, sometimes I really enjoy this on a starry night to go outside and to see the stars. I love that. One of my favorite things about nature. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth his handiwork. You telling me he ain't real? What is wrong with you? He's real. How did you get all those things? Answer that. I just listed off about 10 things. You answer me and say, where else could you get that from? Oh, it was a random chance that this meteorite and that meteorite just came and then he just created this. You realize explosions do not create things, they destroy things. And also, why don't you tell me where the meteorites came from? How about that? I love Bubba. He says, I'm going to park here. He parks here for about 2 minutes. He don't keep the meter running long. I like that. I keep it going a little more. Let me throw it in park right here because I'm going to park it right here. Put a couple quarters in the meter. Amen. Listen, he's real. He's real. Listen. He's proven it to you. He's real. Day after day after day after day, he's kept you healthy. He's kept you in church. He's given you the word of God. Every hour of every day, every second of every hour, you can get on your knees and talk to him. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what circumstance you found yourself in. You can talk to him. He's always there. He's always good. He'll always come through. And yet we question sometimes, is he real? Of course he is. Of course he is. He's real. And you know what? I thank God. And praise the Lord for all of those things. But you know, all those things are kind of general. All of us experience those things. But I thank God for those specific things for me that he's shown in my life. Right. Folks, I remember when I was 17 years old and I had been in church. I grew up in church. Yeah. Sometimes I ask my mom, was I born in church? Because, you know, I mean, I've been in church my whole life. Some people think, will this service ever end? Believe me, I've lived about, 85 times that, okay? But he's real, but yet he rules. I thank God for what he's done, especially for me. When I was 17 years old, I had heard it all. And, I came to the point in my life where I said, you know what, God? I had seen it all. I had done it all. I've heard it all. I've sung it all. I've heard all the preaching. I've been to all the conferences. I've done all this stuff. I said, God, I don't want to play around anymore. God, if you're real, I need you to show me that. And God, if you show that clearly to me, I'll serve you forever. God, if you don't, I'm going to go do what I want to do. You say, what was that? Probably not good stuff. Probably not good stuff. And you know what I started to do? Teenagers, listen up to this. You know what I started to do in my life? I said, God, I'm going to start doing everything that I know to do. All right? I know that I need to be a soul winner. And Kenny can attest to this. Josh can attest to this in the back. I used to call my friends up 17 years old and say, guys, you want to go soul winning today? And we'd go out sometimes. We would go out 4 or 5 times a week,
amen.
Not including Saturday visiting. We start going out a lot. And man, I didn't know what I was doing, but I just said, you know what, God, I'm going to give you every chance. I'm going to give you a certain amount of time, a couple months time frame. I said, God, I'm going to give you every chance to show me. All right? I knew I needed to start soul. I knew I needed to not just browse through my devotions. I knew I really needed to dive deep in this thing. But Chad, I used to get the Bible knowledge commentary from my dad, and I remember reading different things. I would do it in my devotions. My devotions would take hours sometimes. And my dad said, Tom, you don't have to get all deep and down into it. That's studying. That's not reading. He said, just read your Bible. Just read it. And then other times you can study. I said, Dad, I want to get down deep. I want to understand this stuff. I mean, I'd heard all the stories from kindergarten class. I wanted to know it deep, man. And I used to get in there and I knew I needed to start soul winning. I did that. I knew I needed to start reading my Bible. I started doing that, really diving down deep into it. I knew I needed to start praying. I got a prayer list together, started really, for the first time in my life, dwelling on things and begging God for things. And I said, God, I need you to start doing that for me. I started praying to him.
Amen.
And then came along, this was 2004, came along this time where for years and years, Kenny had, about 2 years, he had been working on the white van, the short bus, the special bus, as we call it. Okay. Stevie would say, I'm special, right? Anyway, but Kenny had been working on that route for about 2 years. And he had never, I don't think he'd ever asked me one-on-one that he needed a helper. But I knew from different, people coming and going on his route that he kind of did need some help by different statements he would make. And you know how it is. The Lord starts beating on your heart. You know you need to do that. And then you think, you come up with all these lame excuses, No, I can't, no. I mean, I got this to take care of, and no, I'm a very important person, and I can't dwell in the same abode as these children, Come on now. Me? And Another thing, I didn't used to really like kids that much because they used to get on my nerves.
Can I get an amen from the parents? No, I'm just kidding. Woo! I mean, maybe it was just me. I just had some bad experiences with kids. Like you, Sean, and some other people. I'm calling people out tonight. I don't know. But there's certain kids, Brother Chad, you come up to them, and you're like, hey, buddy, and they just punch you. You're like, oh. You want to just kill them, but you can't. You know, you see the parents, such a nice little boy. I had, like, experience after experience after experience like that. And then Kenny, in so many words, is telling me, why don't you help me out on the route? I'm thinking, no! I don't want to do that.
And I remember it came around Easter Sunday of 2004. And I told him, I said, it was an afternoon when the vans were going to drop off. And I said, Kenny, I just would like to go with you today. I'm not promising that I'm going to be there forever, you know. I just want to try it. Brother Bob, I got on that route, and I was sitting there. I knew a couple of the junior boys, because at that time I was working in the junior boys class, so I think it was mostly girls on the route. Emily and Andrea are on there. Karina was on there, you know, when they were small and all that stuff. I was sitting down in the back, and these kids were going crazy with all these bus songs, and I'm just like, I am in the wrong place. Man, all this crazy stuff. And I'm thinking, I don't think this is going to work. Honestly. I remember all these thoughts started going through my mind. I don't know why. I went back the second week. First week was okay. But I went back the second week, Sunday afternoon. I got on the route again. And I remember there were, and I thank God that he did it like this. There were a couple girls in the back, Amy, Casey, and Alicia, and those girls, Jackie, Vanessa, different girls. And I remember four or five of them, Kathy and Josh, those kids. I remember five, six, or seven of them were in the back there, and for the first time, I just got to talk to them, and they kind of liked me, and they would laugh when I would say dumb stuff, and we would have some fun, and I thought, wow, this is pretty cool. Amen. I like this. I told Kenny when I started, I'm not going to be fanatical about it, you know. Man, I wasn't on the route very long before I transitioned to bus four, but I was on there every week. You couldn't keep me off that route. I started bringing these sodas and chips, these kids, man. Woo! I had good night. We had, I don't know, maybe 30 people on the route, but I would give away about five bags of chips and two liters of soda and all this crazy stuff. Man, I enjoyed it. Folks, I jumped in and I loved it, every minute of it. You know what I started to realize after a while? Man, Pastor, you know, I said I was going to start going soul winning, and you know what happened every once in a while, Josh, Kenny? We started to lead people to the Lord. Wow, that's pretty cool. I started to when I would do my devotions, I would start to understand things in the Bible. I'd say, man, this is why they get so excited about this stuff. I thought the preachers were just crazy, but no. Well, some of them still are, but look, you know. Wow, man. I started praying stuff, and for the first time in my life, God would come through and do things. I say, that's no coincidence. That's no happenstance. God did that for me. Woo! Oh, yeah. That's for you, man. Oh, yeah. Like, I got Vector, right? Squid launcher. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's what I was saying back then, okay? I started getting on that route, and those kids started to love me, and I started to love them. And we used to go out visiting, and God would bring us more and more and more, and he would bless. And all these things would happen. You know what I figured out after a while, church people? I figured out, you know what? I asked God to prove himself real, and he came down like a fire. Boom! Yeah, he's real. Amen, 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 amen. Yes, sir. He is real. And I thank God for what he's done in my life. And I know I took about 20 minutes telling that story. I thank God for what he did in my life. I thank God for where he's brought me. And believe me, there's been times I wanted to quit and I wanted to give up. But I always try to think back to those times when God has been real to me and he's done things for me in my life. Yes, he's real, but he also rules. I thank God for that. Every time, let me tell you something. He proves himself to me every time a kid loves me, every time a soul is won, every time he comforts my heart, every time a prayer is answered, every time he gives me the ability to stand strong in the face of pressure. He shows himself real to me. He shows me something from the Word of God. He does things for me. And I think, you know what, God? That's you showing me that you're real. Thank you, God. Folks, let me tell you something. They were divided in their opinion. Elijah told them at this point. He says, you know what? If the Lord is God, follow him. You know what he's saying? If he's real, and if he rules, if he comes through and shows you that he's real, you have a responsibility to follow him. Number three I want to give you lastly is this. They were divided in their opinion. God demonstrated his omnipotence, that he is all powerful. Lord be God, follow him. Follow him. I think it's time you devote yourself only to him. Let me tell you something. There should be no question. There should be no competition in your life. There should be no challenges to God in your life. He needs to be number one. No close seconds. No runners up. I'm telling you, we need to have God in his rightful place in our lives. You need to be here, as these guys were saying. Every service, every time the doors are open. Listen, we shouldn't have to beg you or prod you or try to kick you in the pants to get you here to visit people. Listen, this is what God has called you to do. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. How are you going to do that? On your couch? Just yell it out the window, maybe somebody, I don't think so. You show up when we get together as a church and go out and talk to people and give it your best shot. You say, I don't know what to do. Neither did I. Julio and Robert can tell you, man, I was so eager to start, but I had no clue what to say. I remember Julio telling me, I had gone with him about 3 weeks, and I was like, Julio, let me knock on this door. I was like, man, you might say the wrong thing. I was like, no, I won't. I got this, man. I can do this. I knock on the door. This teenage guy answered. I'm just like, oh my goodness. You know? No joke. He could have testified to this. I did the whole plan of salvation in about a minute. I mean, I flew through. I don't know. Now I can't even quote the verses in a minute. But back then, man, I flew through the whole thing. Cross and comes wages of death and God coming to the world. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord. Would you like to do that? The guy's like, sure. And I'm like, now what? You know, what do I do now? Thank God that they print the prayer on the back of the track, man. Close your eyes, even though I'm not going. You close them. Hear Jesus, say it. You know, my goodness, I didn't know what I was doing. But you know what you got to do? You got to listen. If you want to get on the Lord's side, you got to jump in somewhere. You got to jump in somewhere. Listen to me. If God is all that He says He is, and He tells you to do this stuff, just do what He says. Let Him take care of the results. Let Him take care of what happens. Listen, you say, well, this situation on my job or in my family or this is going wrong or this is tough for me. What am I supposed to do? Just do what God says. Let Him take care of everything else. Well, if I say that I need to come to church all the time, my job might not like that. Why don't you let God take care of that? Listen, I heard Brother Kenny say before, he was talking to this guy on the phone. I need to slow down so I don't get this twisted up. He was asking this guy, and the guy needed to work on a Wednesday night or whatnot. He called the guy's name. He said, can your job get you another God? He said, but God, can God get you another job? You know what I heard on the other end of the phone? Nothing. I think that's right. And we can apply that in different areas as well. Listen, well, this is going wrong in my family, or I'm struggling with this in my life, or this or that. Let me tell you something. Let God handle it. Just do what He says. And let God handle it. You think the Papes know every detail that's going to happen to them from now to the time they start a church? And then they come up? I guarantee you, there are plenty of gaps along that way. Thinking, man, we don't know how this is going to happen. We don't know how that's going to happen. All that. You know what you do? That God has called them to that place, and they're receiving that call and responding to that call, and they're going to let God work out all the details. And that's a good example for all of us to follow. Devote yourself only to Him. Listen, they were divided in their opinion. God demonstrated His omnipotence. God came down and proved who He was, that He was the only true God. There's no other God on the scene. Only the Lord God, Lord Jesus Christ. He showed up in power that day. And then Elijah said, if He's God, follow Him. Follow Him. Follow Him. You know what I think that means? Devote yourself only to Him. Folks, real quick, when I think of devoting yourself only to God, I think you need to devote yourself fully. Fully. You know what I think that means? All the way in. Wholeheartedly. Completely. I'm giving my all. I used to have a motto for baseball, all out, all the time. It's the only way to play. Just give it your all every second that you get the chance to. Why don't we do that for the Lord? As I said, there's sometimes, as he was preaching last night, there's sometimes God's going to tell you stuff that does not make much sense. It's going to sound pretty crazy. But we just need to say, you know what? I'm not going to go feeling back for the line so maybe I can get my life smoother. I'm just going to trust God that He is able to work everything out.
That's right.
Hello?
That's right.
Devote yourself fully, wholeheartedly, completely. Listen, there should be no area of our lives. There should be no secret corner of our lives that we have held back from God. It should all be His. If it doesn't lift Him up, what's it doing in your life? Fully. All in. Give your best. The Bible says we need to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, strength. You know what that's saying? Completely. All in. Fully. Let me tell you something, teenager. Let me tell you something, adult. We're talking about which side are you on, the whole conference theme and all this stuff. I want you to devote yourself fully to the Lord. Fully to the Lord. Maybe that means you need to get rid of some music. Maybe that means you need to delete some contacts out of your phone. Maybe that means you need to cut off some friends or cut off a boy or cut off a girl. Maybe that means you stop going to those parties. Oh, that was cool. They talked about that, the skit. I know some of you are going to have the opportunity to go on one pretty soon. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Devote yourself fully. Listen, is He God or is He not? Is He? And by the way, you have a choice. You have a choice. Now, I think you're pretty dumb if you go the other way. But let me tell you, there were a lot of people, the majority of people in this passage went the other way. What happened? I'm not going to go into the verses, but one thing it says that they cried out from morning until day. You know what that tells me? They gave their best effort into it. Man, they were devoted to this thing. They gave it their all. You know what else it tells me? It says at one point, after Baal didn't answer the first time, they started cutting themselves and crying louder and doing all these things. You know what else it tells me? It tells me you're going to leave hurt and empty.
Exactly.
You know the most important thing about it? I'm not going to read it, but just allude to it in verse number 29. After they cried from morning until, I think it was the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, which I believe, Brother Chad, is maybe 6 o'clock, somewhere around there. These people had cried to Baal all day long, cutting themselves, going through all these heathen and satanic rituals, trying to get Baal to come through. You know what happened? Nothing. Let me tell you something. You can turn away from this conference. You can say, you know what? You can tell me all this stuff, getting on the Lord's side and yada, 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 desire to know the Lord's will and all this stuff, choose you this day, all this stuff. You know what? Forget it all. That's what's going to happen to you one day.
Right.
You're going to give your best effort to it. There's going to be a day when you're hurt and you're empty and there's going to be nobody around to help you. Let me tell you, at that point, why don't you cry out to your friends? They won't care. Why don't you cry out to that beer? It won't care. Why don't you cry out to those drugs? It won't care. Why don't you cry out to that rapper that you pumped in your ear over and over and over and over again? You couldn't even get a hold of him if you wanted to. They don't care about you. And that's the same thing that'll happen to you, just like these prophets of Baal. But bless God, if you devote yourself only to God, devote yourself fully, and devote yourself faithfully. Let me tell you something. Stay at it. Stay at it. You said, I have devoted myself faithfully. I have devoted myself only to Him. Let me tell you something. Stay at it. Stay at it. Week after week, keep giving forth that full effort. And listen, month after month, keep giving forth that full effort. Year after year, keep giving forth that full effort. You know what would be a dream come true for me? A year from now, I'm still preaching. I'm still praying. I'm still having devotions. I'm still visiting on Saturdays. I'm still soul winning. You say, that sounds like the routine. Yeah, but that means I'll stay faithful. Bless God, that ought to be your dream too. That ought to be your desire too. You know what? On Wednesday night, guess what? We're going to come to prayer meeting. We're going to go in the back and try to ask God and beg God to do things for our church. Thursday night, what are we going to do? We're going to get together and go visit people. Friday night, what are we going to do? Get the teens together and preach our guts out to them. Saturday, what are we going to do? Go out visit. Sunday morning, what are we going to do? Get on the bus. Get in the class. Do the same thing over and over and over again. Why? Because He's worthy of it.
That's right. That's right.
He's worthy of all of it. Listen, you give your full effort to God. Give us. Listen, if you've never done it before, get in your Bible. Get on your knees. Have devotions with God every day. Start passing out some tracts. Hey, maybe some of those nasty TV shows you watch, why don't you cut them out of your life? Why don't you try to change your attitude? Say, you know what? Enough of this sorry attitude. Enough being mad at the world and hating everybody. Man, why don't I ask God to help me with that? And change that. Why don't you get them nasty thoughts out of your mind? And listen, be faithful in what you do. Stay at it week after week, month after month. Let me tell you something, teenagers, as they alluded to in the skit, it might seem all good in the neighborhood right now, but very soon you're going to find out it's not. The Bible says in Proverbs 24:16, says, a just man falleth 7 times, yet riseth up again. Let me tell you something. I want my decision to stick, Brother Tom. I want to be different. I don't want to go back to what I was. Well, let me tell you something. You're going to be on the ground pretty soon. You know the difference between your decision not making it and it will make it is if you get back up. We're all going to fail.
We're all going to fall down flat on our face sometimes, and we're all going to fail God miserably. Will you get up? I heard a quote one time said, the question is not will you fall, the question is will you get up? Will you get up? And then lastly, I want you to just think about this. After God has proven himself to you real in your behalf, in your life, never forget that. Never forget that. Listen, the Bible says, how long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal's God, follow him. But I guarantee you something, Baal isn't, and God is.
That's right.
That choice is up to you. Listen, you're at a crossroads in your life. We have that sign in the back, which way are you going to go? Which way are you going to go in your life? You going to follow everybody else in your neighborhood? Well, my family, as he said last night, why don't you be a good dad one day? Why don't you be a good mom one day? Don't worry about what has happened in the past. Why don't you start it now? You have the opportunity to change all that, to break the chain in your life. Never forget what God has done to you. Listen, Christians in this room, if God has showed up to you and been real to you in your life, don't you ever, ever, ever forget that. And teens, if you've never had God show himself in a real way to you by answering your prayers or by doing something, why don't you beg God and put forth so much effort that you can't help but run into the reality of God? Put yourself on a collision course with God's will in your life.
Amen.
If you do, you'll be answering that question. Which side are you on? Folks, I thank you for listening. I thank you for the whole conference and all that you've done. But let me tell you something. Please listen to this. It will all be a waste of time, effort, energy if we don't live these things out. I leave you with one question. Which side are you going to be on?
Amen.
Let's bow for prayer. Lord, thank you for this night. Thank you again for letting us be in your house. Thank you for your word. God, I pray you would help us in our lives, God, to truly, fully decide which side we're on, not playing the fence, not jumping back and forth, not trying to straddle the line, but God, fully, devotedly, dedicatedly, all the way, get on the Lord's side and stay there. God, I pray you would please help us with that tonight and help us, Lord, in the days ahead that we would keep these decisions. Folks, nobody looking around, heads bowed and eyes closed, if you would, for just a moment. If there's anybody in here that says, Brother Tom, in my life, I want to be on the Lord's side, but to be honest with you, I don't know 100% for sure that I'm going to go to heaven when I die, but I would like to know that. Would you raise your hand just so I can pray for you? Okay. See a couple of you in the back. Praise the Lord for that. Thank you. Anyone else? I don't know 100% for sure in my life that I'm going to go to heaven when I die, but I would like to. Okay. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Is there a Christian that said, you know, something out of the message? Maybe it was one of the guys previous to me. What's your answer? Choose to serve God in your life? Or which side are you on? Something in the messages tonight, it spoke to me. And by the time, I need God to help me with it. If that's you, would you just raise your hand and say, God spoke to me and I needed something from it and I need to work on these things in my life. I need God's help. Is that you? Thank you. You may lower your hands. Let's all stand. We're going to open the invitation up just for a moment. If God spoke to your heart tonight, why don't you come do business with him? Thank you.